we've always wanted to have a studio where we can record content in a spot that really the production level's amped up. Mm-hmm. We've just noticed that content creation is best when we're together in a focused place. There's just a mind meld that happens in a different way when there's like a whiteboard in an office or some room that's just got no distractions, or we can actually execute. I feel like it's a lot more of a just focused session, because the whole COVID thing and just any virtual planning, I don't know. It just, like, for us, it hasn't worked over the 18 years we've known each other.
Boom, 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 boom.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast with your boys, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
Wiki, wiki.
Hear that neck crack?
I did, and now our audience just heard that neck crack.
Bam, there's another one for you. What's happening?
Welcome.
Oh, we are recording.
Great. Are recording.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah.
It's functioning.
Yeah, the start of this recording was like...
Sweaty palms.
Did you hear my neck crack? That's how this one started.
I saw that. You always sneak the red
I was button. Hovering my fingers over both buttons waiting for you to stop talking, and as soon as I pressed it, you're like, did you hear my neck crack?
Matt, a podcaster, I don't stop talking.
That's true.
But welcome.
Thank you for welcoming me to our podcast.
We're here.
We're here. You made it. That's what Jimmy Fallon says at the beginning of the show. Right. He's like, you're here, you made it.
I miss watching him. I should watch him again.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Well, he's not nearly as funny during like the COVID stuff.
Is he not back on stage yet?
Well, I think he might be in the newer ones, but like the past ones where he was like interviewing people over Zoom, like lame. He's somebody that needs to be like interacting with them in person. Otherwise, he's not that engaging.
Yes. He's cringeworthy interview style sometimes. Just gonna say that. I love his style, but I'm like, ooh, man, he's really not that good at interviewing.
Yeah. That's true.
That's here or there. This session is obviously just us.
Yeah, just
talking
us today.
With you.
Mm-hmm. Mark and Steve and Karen and Jamie and Jessica, Felicia.
Hi, all.
All of you.
And hopefully a couple more.
Yeah. So, I mean, our 10 fans are tuning in.
Yes.
Maybe.
Thank you for being here. 10 fans. We love you.
Yeah.
We're in a new studio.
We are. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Our studio, not just any studio.
Maybe called Flowchart Studios.
TBD on the name, but I think it's getting close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today, Matt?
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about this new studio that we got. We're going to talk about why we got the new studio. We're going to break down what equipment we're using in the new studio. I am going to try not to hit the power button with my foot, because we actually already recorded 20 minutes of this episode once already, and then my foot hit a power button that's right here. We need to fix that.
The tech guy can't blame me for the tech going out.
And we lost 20 minutes of audio, so we're starting this over. But we're going to be talking about the studio, the equipment we're using. We're going to talk about a little bit what's been going on behind the scenes of our business, Pod Hacker.
The why behind all of this.
The why, why the hell did we get a studio?
We'd probably start with the why, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a book?
Start with why.
Simon Sinek.
Yes.
It is a book.
Yes, it is. But grab the action guide. We are putting out action guides to every episode, including this one. So go to flowchartgroup.com, join the Facebook group, enter your email while joining, and we'll send you them action guides to whatever episodes were the most recent 2 weeks worth of episodes.
That just means basically get over there right now. Yeah. Huh? Press pause button, flowchartgroup.com, enter your email address.
Oh, you didn't mean me. Okay.
Don't do it. You're going to turn that recording off again. Don't press the power button with your foot, Matt.
So flowchartgroup.com. Go get the action guides.
Thank
you're
going to
dig them.
Yeah. So this session, everything that we're, I think this is, it's interesting because we'll start with the why, huh?
Start with why.
So the studio has been in our minds for a long time.
Yeah.
We've had I wouldn't call it a studio, but we've had some offices, some office spaces, and magic always happens. Cool stuff happens there. We've had technically an office with a podcast in it before. I wouldn't call it a studio. So, I mean, we tried.
We had the green screen and lights and all that kind of stuff.
So ghetto rigged.
Yeah, but here's what's funny about our first ever podcast studio that we had up in Temecula, California. Our podcast studio was a 4-foot by 4-foot card table that we bought at Walmart or something.
Definitely. And it was a combo pack with four chairs for like $30 or something. We're like, perfect.
And if you leaned back in the chair, there was like a screw or something that kind of poked you in the back.
Yeah, now we have the all 33. I was going to say 33.
All
33 chairs. Thank you, Lisa. And Bing. Mm-hmm. But we're sitting much more comfortably, I would say.
And I'm quite a bit bigger of a table.
Yeah, I know. It's a very large table. It's pretty rock solid.
Yes.
Stable. Matt built it.
It's heavy as shit. I had to wheel it up to this ramp to get it up into the office and like
alone, right?
Alone, yes. And like all of the freaking people in the offices next to me were like giving me looks as I was wheeling it up because I was like bumping into walls and stuff. But yeah, anyway.
Matt made all the friends that he didn't want to make that day.
Yeah, that's very true.
I know. because they're all chatty.
Yeah.
So I gotta be quiet because they're
yeah, screw them. No, so I the very first day I was building all this stuff and I just got the desk up and I was like drenched in sweat, just completely covered. Like
yeah.
I wasn't wearing a hat and my hair was just like all like in my face and covered in sweat.
When are you not wearing a hat?
Very rarely these yes. days. COVID made me much more of a hat person. So I went and I locked the door so nobody would bug me. And I came back here and I was like on the ground, like assembling this desk. I was up underneath, like drilling it, uh-huh. and getting it all set up. And the neighbors who had just watched me like wheel it by came over like 3 minutes later and were like knocking on the window. And I kind of ignored it. And I was like, they'll go away. They'll probably assume I'm busy. They knock on the window and they start like grabbing the door and like wiggling it. And
who is this?
The neighbors right there. Yeah, right next door.
He might be outside smoking. So you might watch it. I don't.
I can't ever hear him talk, so he probably can't hear us. But if he does,
we're learning not, the yeah. How I'm thick not, the walls are.
I'm not trying to become his fan or anything, or him get him to be our fan. But they persisted until I finally got up and opened the door for him. And when I opened the door, they're like, "Is your hot water working?" And I was like, "I don't know. I haven't tried to use the hot water yet. Let me check." And I turned it on. I'm like, "Nope, it's not working." And they're like, "Oh, ours isn't either." And I was like, "Oh, that's a bummer." And then they were just like standing there staring at me. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll introduce myself. And so I told them my name and I said, yeah, we're podcasters. We're building out a podcast studio. And they just got all like chit chatty. And I'm just sitting here like drenched in sweat, like still out of breath. And I'm just like, uh-huh. Cool, guys. Well, it's good meeting you. And then they kept on talking. And I'm like, yeah, that's really interesting. Great meeting you. I got to get good. And like these weren't taking the hint. And so
I think if it was me, I would totally be the opposite person. Obviously, it's just so funny how different we are, because I'm like in that scenario, be like, oh, what's happening?
Yeah. I'm sitting here like, get out of my face. I don't want to talk to anybody right now. Yeah. Joe would be like, hey, cool, a break from action.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much our mixer here.
Yeah.
What's happening?
So anyway, but that was a diversion from the why we're in the studio in the first place.
Yeah. So yeah, the why, yeah, we were going back in time with our first place, yeah, with the card table and all that. This is much better here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the why, we've always wanted to have a studio where we can record content in a spot that really the production levels amped up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first one we had in Temecula mm-hmm. was a mini little room. It was actually probably the size of the room we're in now.
Yeah,
we have probably like quadruple the size in this entire office, which is way too much space for us here.
Yeah, we even have a kitchen in this office.
What? We have a sofa. We have a full sofa. I've sat on it one time. Yeah. Point of the matter is we just noticed that content creation is best when we're together in a focused place. We'll tell you about the why of our previous location mm-hmm. in a second. And then and also I feel like there's just a mind meld that happens in a different way when there's like a whiteboard in an office or some room that's just got no distractions, or we can actually execute. I feel like it's a lot more of a just focused session, because the whole COVID thing and just any virtual planning, I don't know. It just like, for us, it hasn't worked over the 18 years we've known each other. We did the math on that episode that got lost.
Yeah.
We're not going to go through that whole math problem again that we had. Remember that? That took like 5 minutes.
Trying to figure out how long we've known each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was 18 years. Yeah.
18 years. Yeah. But so the whole thing is we finally pulled the trigger and got this to, you know, and over COVID, you know, a lot of availability popped up. Mm-hmm. We saw an opportunity. We've been thinking about it for far too long. So we're like, cool, well, might as well.
Yeah.
And right down the street from both of our places.
Yeah. If you really listen back to the 300 and whatever episodes we have, it's probably mentioned on like 25% of them. Like, eventually we're going to get into this new studio. Eventually we're going to get into this new studio. And we just kept on pushing it out. Like every year we're like, yeah, next year we'll probably do that. Next year we'll probably do that. So COVID presented the opportunity because there's a lot cheaper leases. Unfortunately, a lot of companies are going under right now. And so the opportunity presented itself. We snatched up this office for a great deal and set up a podcast studio in it. But really, it's been the vision. It's been what we've always wanted to do. We want a creator space and like a getaway thinking mastermind space, mm-hmm. right? So that's kind of like the main reason. That's like reason number one.
That's a big one. Yeah. And distractions are another one, you know, especially for recording content. You know, we had some surprise visitors sometimes at Matt's house where we were recording. And, you know, and when just on our work days, too. I mean, it's kind of nice to have a little place. I mean, and I feel very fortunate because, like, you know, at my house, my wife is definitely with our kid often. Mm-hmm. And I know your wife is as well. And both are extremely busy. And it's just, this is definitely a privilege to be able to have a quiet space to do this. But I feel like it's something that we've been wanting. We want to up-level a lot of the stuff we're producing currently, and this base is going to allow us to do a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, we had days where we were podcasting over at my house, and it could get noisy at my house. I have two kids there. I have my wife there. We liked to podcast on Thursdays. Thursday kind of is the main day we tend to podcast on, which also happens to be the same day my gardener comes and does all the lawn mowing and weed whacking and all that kind of stuff. So we'd hear that in the background every once in a while. That's also trash day in my neighborhood is Thursday. So there's that as well.
Just want to throw everything at us, huh?
Yeah. So we're just like, hey, let's do it on the noisiest day at my house. But it also seemed to be the day that most people were available to do interviews.
That's true.
It was just kind of like it fell on that day by happenstance.
Yeah. That's weird. I've never questioned that. It was Tuesdays and Thursdays at first.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Then we're just like, I should do Thursdays. Yeah.
And we're like, let's just simplify as Thursdays. Although next week we're recording Tuesday.
Yeah. Too much behind the scenes.
Too much. You don't need to know that. But, you know, we would have my son, would like to be helpful. And last time we were recording at my house, we were in the middle of an interview and he just started to vacuum right outside our office door where we're recording podcasts.
Thank you, Hollis.
We had a washing machine that was literally on the other side of my wall in my office that every time it was on, it would like shake the whole room. Like not just make the noise, like you would probably see us on camera like vibrating.
If you look close enough. Yeah. No, it felt like there was a helicopter hovering over the house, which one time there was one.
Yeah.
But
we thought it was the washing machine.
Yeah. And that time it wasn't, which is very weird because it legit felt the same.
Yeah. I just want to say, I did replace that washing machine. We don't have it anymore.
It needed it bad. We didn't know it at the time. But we'll just say Jacob on our team, who does all of our content and editing and all that stuff, reduced all that noise and distractions for the most part, very well. So thank you. You are a pro, that's for sure. But yeah, you'll have a lot less work here. So that'll be fun for you.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully.
We'll see.
Well, maybe more with the video components, but yeah, I don't know. More of the why. It's like, and for me, getting out of the house, I mean, my kid has become very loud. She is a yeller, like just for no reason. Yeah. Like, okay, why?
Joe does it too.
Bust it.
I know exactly where it comes from.
I just tone the energy down here a little bit. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I'm like, this is getting, it's a tough to focus, we'll just say. Yeah. And I'm the type that just likes to, I want to be with my family. Like they're a huge, biggest part of my life. And then I have some that live next door to me. A lot of opportunities to hang out with my family. And as I said earlier, when there's neighbors or even kind of unwanted people at the time, I'll still find a chance to go hang out with them.
Yeah.
And it's just something I like to do. So, getting out of my house, I felt like was a smart way to do that. But focus, like it's a hybrid situation we got going on here.
Yeah,
like this is more content creation and
masterminding.
And masterminding. It's not like, hey, we're just going to the office and like.
I think, that was like a big piece for me of like getting this office was I didn't want to feel like, okay, now I have a place I got to go into every day.
Right.
Like I didn't want to feel like there is this obligation to get into an office by a certain time every day. And these are the working hours. Like, no, we started our business to get away from that kind of grind. Right. So, one of the decisions we made was when we need to be in creation mode, create videos, do live streams, record podcasts. We have this place to come to when we need to game plan and mastermind. We have this place to come to. And when we just need a quiet space to get shit done, like I just need to put my head down and work on a funnel today or put my head down and respond to a bunch of emails in my inbox or whatever. Like we have that quiet place where we know there's no distractions. Nobody's going to pop in the middle of our, getting work done.
Yeah.
But it's very fluid. Like we've had this space for about 2 weeks from the time of this recording now. And in those 2 weeks, I've been over here 5 days or so, maybe total. Mm-hmm. We've actually only done like two days of like content. Legit content work in this space so far, mm-hmm. out of the 2 weeks that we've had it, right? So that fluidity of like, I still work from home, but mm-hmm. I also have a studio.
Yeah. You know, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Because I think at first we were thinking, oh, it's one or the other. You know? It's like, oh, what the? Oh, no, hold on. we create the rules. Like, I don't, why is this programming in my head? You know, like,
right.
So, this hybrid thing's cool. So we're still trying to find it. And this is just a little behind the scenes of what the hell we're doing. So maybe it helps you a little bit too. Yeah. But yeah, like there's it's just kind of nice to have a little space for that contained creation time. And I think for the art of it and the fact that we want to really ramp up what we're doing with mm-hmm. our content, like I think it's a smart move and still being able to hang out with the family and have that balance. Cause you know, and being able to kind of be mobile at the same time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll do a lot more behind the scenes as we figure out our workflow. It's still kind of bare bones, but we got the core things here.
Yeah. I mean, this studio that we're in now is fairly decked out with the lighting and equipment and stuff.
Yeah.
But literally, so I don't think we've really described it. I think this was on our previous recording that failed, but
yes.
Yeah. This office that we're in now is massive, right?
It's way too big for us.
It's way more space than we need. There's actually three units. There's like a kitchenette thing over there. We have a couch in here.
Massive open space.
I mean, like this place is just slightly smaller than the first house I owned. The first house I ever owned was 900 square feet. I think this space is like 850 square feet. And crazy. We're literally...
And I've lived in smaller condos, apartments than this.
Yeah.
It's trippy.
Yeah. And we're literally kind of crammed into like, we've put everything into one office. One of the rooms is literally storage. There's just lighting equipment and like old audio equipment and microphones and stuff like that. And then the entry space over this way, which is monstrous. Like, it's freaking huge. Like that space over there is probably 700 of the square feet or something.
Too much. So
and it's empty. It's just got a couch. Nothing else.
You gotta figure out. Oh, it's a napping couch. So I've not yet napped on there. But yeah, it's a big leather couch. We're like, oh, cool.
Yeah,
that's a good spot for it. Not even a table yet.
No,
nothing else in the mix. But we'll figure it out.
We will.
We'll figure out some fun, probably music type stuff, I would imagine.
But we'll do some videos in the future too, give you some tours as we actually put stuff in it. There's not a whole lot to see yet. The studios portion that we're in right now is probably like the only cool thing. And on this episode, we'll walk you through some of the equipment that we have, but we are going to put some videos up on hustlingflowchart.tv.
Whoa. Is that the first call out? I keep forgetting. I keep looking down here because I'm like, wow, this is actually really fun to just kind of watch. I don't know. I'm like, wow, we have a setup now.
I know.
This looks cool. Now, but on YouTube, and then this is the other bit of the why behind this.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting about the lost audio, what we covered and what we didn't yet.
Yeah.
Tricking with our minds. A big why is this, we've been studying a lot of the creator types on YouTube and other platforms who really demand in attention in kind of a different way than a lot of marketers, digital marketers will do. And they're, you know, getting conversions, leads, all this, like they're doing all the same stuff, but they're approaching it in a different way. And that whole platform on YouTube is just it's a growth engine. The algorithm, you have all these different features inside of there. There's ways to monetize. Mm-hmm. Lots of cool stuff on YouTube and the Facebook or the Facebook, the YouTube formula. Is that the mm-hmm. name of the book?
Daryl Eves book.
Yeah. So that's kind of been like a big, it's been a big help for us.
Yeah.
But we've been just studying a lot of folks. We're like, okay, so what if we took a lot of what we're doing here with our content and brought it to a level on YouTube where we can make it engaging, we can chop it up and put maybe an hour-long interview turns into like a 15-minute documentary type thing around the interview we just had with someone. Mm-hmm. So it keeps it interesting, it pulls out all the key points and it's a little bit more produced. So this studio allows us to do that. We have one camera right now, we'll get into this, but we're gonna add a couple more. Mm-hmm. And eventually have where guests can come in as well. So probably a different setup completely.
Yeah, well, I mean, when we start having guests in here, I think we'll probably rearrange and almost like re-envision the studio. This is the current iteration, but it's not the final iteration.
But I don't know, I think for me, it's like super exciting to think that we are creating so much content already. And now it's becoming easier. We wanted something seamless that we could just hop into and go,
bing. Yeah, not only easier, but higher quality as well.
Both, yeah. And that's the thing is like, there's a lot of, it ticked a lot of boxes for us so we can kind of execute on this bigger vision because, if you look at YouTube and there's some podcasts on there and just some channels that they just have crazy of attention. And mm-hmm. we look at it, we're like, what the hell? Like, okay, we need to hop on that train and then like figure out how to morph what we're already investing a lot of time and energy into, and dollars, and figure out how to really amplify what we're doing over there on that channel mm-hmm. on YouTube and other video channels. So that's the game plan there. Yeah. That's yet to, we haven't figured out that whole thing yet.
Yeah, YouTube is something we still need to build some systems around. In fact, we'll probably be on the hunt for somebody who's a great editor, like specifically for YouTube style videos.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So that'll be something we'll be looking for in the near future. So if you have somebody in mind, know we're kind of on the lookout for that.
Hit us up.
Because right now, the way we do these podcasts now is they're fairly long form, right? Though they're an hour plus. When you consider our outro, they're probably averaging more like an hour and 15 minutes now. And those don't perform super well on YouTube, we're finding out, right? Mm-hmm. Like you just take a full hour interview that's just split screen, us and our guests, and put them side by side. And there's no transitions, no movement. You're just seeing the same sort of picture for an hour long.
Yeah.
I don't think people have the attention span to just sit there, or you can start changing colors.
Matt, keep talking. Keep talking.
So
you're so distractible. Keep going.
So yeah, the long form videos, we want to edit them down. So the interviews aren't here's an hour long version of the full video podcast.
Yeah.
We'd like them to be a little more cut and just kind of get straight to the meat and jump around a little bit, have different camera angles, have different colors.
That's really what I was trying
change
to change. I was trying to go with what you were saying. Yeah. Like, let's introduce some movement, you know? And if you're not watching this on video, we actually got a really cool lit up like neon sign behind us that changes colors. So
it's lit.
Lit.
It's lit. Isn't that what the kids say these days?
It's lit. Yeah. Look at that lit sign. Oh, and it's green too. Doesn't that mean something else?
I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Hustle and flowchart established 2017.
So basically, like, and I think this is a really big piece. I want to of the why and really we've done a lot and we do a lot with our content already. And that's in the form of like the EGP newsletters we send out monthly, the action guides for each episode. It's all repurposed or it's notes, like created notes from the content we're creating here as a podcast. But those turn into different offers and lead gen, magnets or whatever the hell you want to call them, like giveaways. And why not use it as more of a growth thing? We're already doing repurposing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, that doesn't get a lot of attention. Like we've done a lot of that on all the different channels, repurpose or do a little clip or pull out sometimes they work, mm-hmm. But with this kind of setup and with maybe chop it up into more of a story arc, and that's why a really solid editor that kind of knows this and understands it, I think we can really take this content that we're already investing in so heavily and put it into this growth machine that YouTube is and just follow some of these principles that we're already learning. And like, it should be able to put a lot more listeners into this this show that we've been looking for.
Yeah.
But yeah, podcast just doesn't have a good, they don't have an algorithm really that helps you grow too easily.
No.
If iTunes or Apple and Spotify, but I mean, like, they're not really giving you much help.
Yeah, the discoverability is not really there. No. YouTube's algorithm for discovering new channels is really, really good. They're good at figuring out, okay, they're into this, so let's show them this, right? None of the podcast platforms are really great at that yet. Hopefully they're going to get there. I think they will get there. I think Spotify is making a big push. I think Apple's, rethinking everything because Spotify is doing such a big push.
For sure.
So I think they will get there. But right now, YouTube has an amazing discoverability engine. And if you could sort of get into the algorithm where you start getting recommended to people, there is so much potential momentum on YouTube that we want to capitalize on.
And there's some podcasts on there already that have done extremely well, like millions of followers.
Yeah.
And we're like, we've never even heard of them. Mm. Or like, wow, their studio setup or whatever doesn't look that impressive.
Yeah.
But like, man, they've probably done some moves and where they maybe did some collaborations on YouTube or with creators, which, we're definitely looking into. Mm-hmm. But also, because of that, they probably are getting discovered because of the algorithm and all these other different signals that, it's connected to Google, of course, so that allows for more indexing of these pieces of content as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool benefits.
Yeah.
And I guess we're justifying why we got an office.
This whole episode is just us justifying the additional expense.
Pretty much.
No, but the other
turning this expense into an income stream.
That's true.
Line item. Thank you, Roland. That's his philosophy.
The other thing we want to do quite a bit of too is more like behind the scenes kind of stuff. Like, let's be honest, at the end of the day, what we do is pretty fun. Like, we like talking to people. We love playing with gadgets and toys and equipment. And at least I do. I like all the toys and stuff. Like, I live for that stuff.
It's fun.
Like, it's for me, it's just really fun. And we want to do more videos of like, hey, look at what could be created. Let's show the potential. Let's show us having fun. I was just telling Joe this earlier. I posted something on Instagram. It was just literally a picture. It wasn't even a video, but it was a picture of our studio. Joe was sitting back in the chair, like leaning back, looking all comfy. And you saw the light in the background and you saw the lighting equipment and stuff. And I just took a picture of the studio space and put it on Instagram. And it was like my most popular Instagram post I've ever posted. And I'm like, well, shit, people seem to like to see behind the scenes. Maybe we should lean into this a little bit.
I think that's it's something that we're going to do more of while I'm firing up my camera. You don't need to do it too. only one behind the scenes at a time.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of cool stuff that will happen here. But really the big thing, I mean, if we can really harness this content into a way that that just drives a lot more attention, and it's already effort we're putting into this thing, and it's just setting up some new systems and figuring out workflows and maybe some person or two to help us out. I mean, I think we can do this. I don't know. We haven't really seen this. There's some good channels that, you know, we've been following, but not, I wouldn't say that it's in the same scenario where there's like, okay, there's a podcast and we want to basically turn it into something that works on YouTube too with video.
Yeah, I haven't seen many podcasters do it effectively yet.
So let's hope we do.
Yeah. I'd say probably the closest I can think of is Lewis Howes. I think his is a multi-cam setup. It's very similar to like a Joe Rogan kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Where it's multi-cam.
So it's Joe Rogan, like, duh.
He's got like the camera that's like wide where you see him and his guest, and then there's a camera on him, the camera on his guest, and it's constantly like changing angles. You've got that sort of visual retention element there, you know?
The movement, right, Matt? So we got to keep switching the lights.
I don't know if the lights is enough movement to keep people going.
It's purple now. Is that enough movement for you to keep watching?
I think we've done a good job of justifying it. Should we walk through some of the equipment we got here?
We can, nerd boy. I won't be able to help you out much on this one, though.
Yes, you will.
Go for it.
Yeah. So the mixing board we're using right now, this is the Rodecaster Pro. We actually had this since the old studio. So Joe's filming right now, so maybe some of this will be B-roll on the video. I don't know. We had this Rodecaster Pro. This is what our mics are fed into. This hooks into the computer via USB. And so we can hear our guest through the mixing board. Our guest can hear us, but it also splits up the tracks, right? So I'm recording into one mic. Joe's recording into another mic. Our guest is coming in on another channel. I hit an export button on my computer at the end of our recording day, and it splits out the tracks. So I can edit Joe's audio out completely, make it all about me, just leave the audio of me in there.
That was bad.
Yeah. but we can edit individually, level out the volumes, reduce noise on individual tracks, things like that. And we've got sound pads, which I didn't know if we want to use them or not.
What? I don't even know what that was. These are all pre-mixed. No, they're not worth it.
Yeah.
Let's play it out, Matt.
Okay. Well, it's got sound pads and stuff like that on it. And I think that's pretty much covers it. You can have an iPhone hooked into it or any smartphone hooked into it. So like you can have call-ins and stuff. Maybe someday
call-ins.
We might try that.
Fun.
I don't know. Do people still use phones? I don't know.
I think there's a lot we can do here that we probably don't even know about yet.
Yeah, but there's a lot of functionality to this that we haven't used. Like these can actually be used as like camera switchers if you want to.
What?
Yeah, you can sync up these keypads that we just press for the music.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And actually use them as like a camera switcher. So this almost acts as like a Stream Deck if you wanted it to. Like it's got settings to do that with these buttons.
Yeah.
Joe and I, we each have our own headphone input, and we have different headphone volumes. So if somebody's really loud to Joe and he needs to turn them down, he could turn down his headphones individually and I can have my own level. We can mute ourselves. So when we need to cough or sneeze, or like Joe, when he needs to fart or something, he can mute himself.
There you go.
I think it still bled onto my mic anyway. No. But
sitting too close. Yeah. Cool. No, I mean, I think Rodecaster Pro is something that a lot of folks are just investing in, even if you don't have some, like if you're not podcast forward or whatever. Like a lot of us are just recording really good audio and maybe some video too. So yeah. It's really, it's just makes it a lot easier.
Well, the amount of things that you can do with this Rodecaster Pro that in the past would take freaking four different devices.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so it's got the mixing board, right? In the past, you know, a mixing board like this that has what, 8 tracks on it technically, would cost you, I don't know, $500 or $600 by itself, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe even more, depending on what brand.
Oh, just
you
get. The mixer.
Yeah, just the mixer. Yeah, yeah. If you wanted to get a headphone amplifier where you can manage all your headphones from, that would be another like $150, $200 mm-hmm. piece that you'd have to get. If you wanted to get sound pads, just like an individual sound pad thing, I mean, those range all over the place, $200 up to thousands of dollars, depending on how many pads and things like that you have. And this whole unit, this Rodecaster unit, is $600. What to get all of the functionality that you would have spent $2,000-$3,000 on in the past.
But today, and today only, if you buy now, you'll get an extra tossed in there for free.
Yeah, Joe's buying it, apparently.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, yeah. No, this isn't an ad for Rodecaster. I'm just pointing out that like the value for money is really, really high on that thing.
You're selling it, boy.
Yes.
Boy. This is what I'm going to talk about.
Well, let me tell you about the mics that are feeding into this. These are both Rode Pod mics.
Ah, yes. Sorry. There's another component to these. Yes.
Yeah. So these are both Rode Pod mics. Before we were using Shure SM58s at my house, we decided to upgrade the microphones a little bit when we came in. They're not actually an upgrade in price. These microphones are $99 each. A Shure SM58 is a $99 microphone.
Wasn't it someone telling us that the other Shure SM7B? Or
yeah, the Shure SM7B.
Yeah. Is like, that's the Rogan mic, the Joe Rogan mic.
Yeah.
It's like, what, this is nothing compared to that, but the quality is better.
Yeah.
I think it was Charlie Valor, actually.
Yeah, people have told us basically you put the Shure SM7B next to this one and you can barely tell the difference in audio quality.
I think they're cool. I like it a lot more than like a big old, well, you don't have those arms sticking out. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, it's almost like too bulky.
Yeah, yeah.
I dig these.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing, the thing that Charlie told me is that with the Rodecaster Pro, each channel, you can actually tell it what kind of mic you're using, and you can actually tell it that you're using the Rode Pod mic. And since they're made by the same company, the Rodecaster actually adjusts all of the settings internally to give it the best audio quality for the mic. And because the mic and the mixer are made by the same company, it's like the way Charlie explained it to me is like, if everything you have in your house is a Mac, right? You have an iMac, you have your MacBook, mm-hmm. you're probably not going to get an Android phone because an Android phone isn't really designed out of the box to just like talk to the Mac real well.
Yeah.
Right. So it's the same kind of thing, right? It's like you have a Rodecaster Pro and you have the Rode Pod mic. That's like having an iMac and like mm-hmm. an iPhone, and they're just going to like talk to each other nicely because they're the same company and they were designed to work perfectly together. Right.
I could see, people, a lot of people are taking the Apple approach.
Yeah.
Like Elgato.
Elgato is another great company, which we've got some stuff.
Is it Elgato or Elgato?
I don't know. Elgato.
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 Yeah. I mean, because they're making mics and lights and all and stream decks. You know, there's crazy stuff, but we don't have that right here yet.
No, my one of my mics at home is an Elgato mic, and then I have an Elgato stream deck. We do have an Elgato for our camera. We'll talk about it when I talk about our camera in a minute. We do have an Elgato piece hooked up over mm-hmm. here. But yeah, if you want to talk about
about the light.
Sweet light that because, we got behind us.
This is how techie I am. I know how to work colors.
Yeah.
So Matt found pink. We're like, you know what would be cool is get a little neon sign mm-hmm. for our background because you know what? Joe Rogan does it.
Although we had the idea before we ever saw Joe Rogan do it.
Just saying like, oh, the inspiration comes from him. No, it doesn't. But yeah, we're just like, that'd be cool. And I was like, you know what? Etsy always has crazy stuff like that. And then you ended up just nerding out, I think, that night. And then you found this one that we ended up picking out. It's cool. It's like a little like, I don't know, it's cut out piece of metal, hustle and flow chart, and a little established 2017 with a few palm trees in the middle. But it also has this kind of little lit up functionality. If you're watching the video, it has this neon light and you can change it to a million colors probably.
Yeah. You can even have it changed like through colors. So there's like fade. It'll like kind of rotate through the colors for you. And it's got jump, which is, we'll do that kind of thing. Oh my God,
this is how we keep attention on YouTube.
Yeah.
Look at all the crazy lights.
We had a, we were doing a live stream yesterday and he said, can you make sure your light blinks whenever there's a really good tip that I give? So
that's right.
We have this mode where that was a good tip. So let's make it blink, you know?
I love it.
So,
yeah. It's cool. I mean, so yeah, I don't know. There's the neon thing's kind of cool, or you know, it's not even neon, but yeah, you know, like lit up LEDs, all that stuff. You're seeing a lot of them out there. And, like you see YouTubers, mm-hmm. there's a lot of, lighting's huge, and mm-hmm. I know this is where we'll get into the lighting that we have as well, but just things like that. And you ordered some more LEDs, so we'll probably be peppering this place up with even more pretty soon.
Yeah, we'll look all colorful at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think it's cool, but you see, I don't know, like that's all just little pieces of interesting things that we can add into the mix.
So. Yeah, it just gives it a little more visual appeal when you're watching instead of seeing like my messy bookshelf behind me. I spent like a whole weekend installing these wood planks behind us.
Oh yeah, look at them. You can't even tell that night, Matt, you forgot to iron out the crease.
Oh yeah. These wood planks that make ripples when I move my hands across it.
As Matt, basically Matt hung up a nice, what is this called? A
backdrop.
Just some kind of sheet. Yeah, a backdrop. It's like not linen. Why do I want to say linen?
It's like a cloth. It's a
cloth. Some kind of cloth. But
it's a non-reflective cloth. So like when we point lights at it, it's not like shiny.
Like a photo shoot.
It's designed for photo shoots, but it looks like it's wood panels behind us. And then we hung the light over it. And when the light's turned on, you can literally see the creases from how it came folded. So we're going to iron that out. But for right now, if you're watching the video, you can see where these creases are behind our light.
This is starting ugly.
Starting ugly.
But yeah.
It's prettier than our last ugly though.
That is true.
Yeah.
So this is a step in the right direction. So yeah, little photo kind of backdrop thing, neon light that we could change to any themes. We were having our pod hacker call yesterday. So we're like, well, it's got to be red because pod hackers.
Yeah, the black branding's all red and black on pod hacker.
But yeah, I don't know. Things like this, it's just fun. And they're all kind of like cheap things that we could just throw into the mix, but strategically.
Yeah.
It's different. But let's carry on here.
Lighting, so we got the Rodecaster, we got two mics, we got the lighting, we got our backdrop.
Talk about what we're looking at.
Yeah, there. So right now the camera that we're using is a Sony A6400. It is a mirrorless camera, but it actually records in 4K. So it's a really, really great video camera for actually doing live streams and using it as like a webcam. This came recommended from a lot of different mm-hmm. people. I know Charlie Valor uses one of these and recommended it. Who else was telling about it? Tom Gaddis, who was on the show recently, telling us about his.
We've seen there's a lot of YouTubers that use it. My wife's business partner, she's a creator on YouTube. She uses it. It came highly recommended, and mainly because it's like a creator camera.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of people have been using these for webcams.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty much how it's set up. Like the way that we're looking in front of our desk, we have the camera right on top of a mm-hmm. monitor, actually. So like if you are watching on video, we're looking down often mm-hmm. just because we're vain and we're looking at ourselves. I'm like, oh, my head's getting a little shiny because the lighting. I need powder.
Yeah, Joe's gonna start powdering his face.
But that's why they do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it can be used as a really badass webcam.
Yeah.
Instead of like a little clip-on thing.
Yeah, and if I'm being totally honest, we haven't messed around with too much of the camera settings. I watched one YouTube video and the guy was explaining how to get all of the like when you first hook it up, it's got all of the like f-stop and shutter speed and like how all much battery life and like all the sort of display stuff that you would get like when you look through a viewfinder. That actually came through on the video like as a webcam and stuff. So I went and turned off that function and then I set it into movie mode, and those are the only two settings I've played with so far because a YouTuber told me to. And I haven't gotten into the camera and messed with any other settings. I just kind of went straight for what they recommended.
Hey, it's working for now.
Yeah.
So,
That camera has to get fed into the computer to be like a webcam, but there's no like USB out on the camera. You have to, it's an HDMI out. So you need a thing called an Elgato Cam Link. And the Elgato Cam Link allows you to plug into a USB on your computer, but then it gives you an HDMI port. And the HDMI goes into the USB, and now the camera is set up as like a webcam into the computer. So you need that little adapter to be able to use this camera as a webcam, which adds, you know, an extra $150 or so to the price in order to be able to use it as a webcam. But that's how it's actually feeding into the computer right now. and then feeding out of the computer from my other HDMI, my HDMI output on my computer, we actually have a monitor in front of us. It's a cheap Acer monitor that I bought for like $95 or something like that on Amazon.
It's pretty impressive for that cheap.
Yeah, it's like a little
like it's all we need. We don't need anything fancy.
It's maybe what, like a 24-inch monitor or something. It's a small monitor.
Yeah.
But it makes it so that the camera is mounted directly above the monitor in front of us, but it makes it so we're looking at our guest, right? My laptop is actually over here. It's to the side over this way. And if we were to actually use the computer on the webcast, we'd be looking off to the side, like the whole thing, because this camera's over here. So we needed to have a setup where we had a monitor and the camera right in the same place so that while we're talking to our guest, we're actually also looking into the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like it. And it's really cool because with Zoom, because we're set up for more remote interviews than anything, it's difficult to sometimes remember to look at the lens.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want to see the person's face that you're talking to. So, I don't know, maybe in the future, I know you were telling me about a setup where there's actually someone who uses a teleprompter.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've ever used a teleprompter, it's just a, you know, mirrored screen, basically. So, that way, you can actually look right into the person's eyes and through that teleprompter, but really the camera's just looking at you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe in the future that could be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think we'll look into that. But I want like a legit teleprompter. I don't want one of those ones where you slap an iPad into it, you know.
So we started like years back.
Yeah, we still have that somewhere.
Do we?
Yeah, it's not at the new office yet. It's in my garage.
Heather was asking about it. Well,
yeah, we have it.
I don't know why. But yeah, so this setup's just really cool for Zoom. So if you're thinking about doing like Zoom type things or a setup like this, you can totally, just mount that simple. What you have it like a little grip. What are those things at the end that's holding the camera up? It's not obviously.
It's a super clamp.
Super clamp. That's what it is. So that's like clamped on this TV mount that he has below all this. So it's holding it in place.
Yeah. So the monitor that we're looking at right now is actually not sitting on the desk. We have it off the desk. We wanted all the desk to be open space so that we can have kind of a command center. Like I've got notepads. We've got remote controls. We've got our mixing board. We got our both of our laptops are on here, but all that stuff's off camera. So I actually wanted the monitor off the desk. I wanted it not to be at the desk. And we also want to play around with depth. We'll probably do some videos where we push the camera back further. We'll do some videos where maybe the camera's a little closer. We're going to experiment with the depth of things. But the camera's actually, or the monitor's actually on a freestanding mount. I don't remember the brand, but it's literally like a tripod that's designed to mount a computer monitor on. So there's like a stand that's off the desk with this monitor on it. And then the camera has a super clamp that's clamped to that stand. And it's making the camera just barely pop above the monitor. So if we're looking at the video itself, our eye line is just slightly below the camera.
It's pretty freaking magic. Yeah, when I walked in here and Matt had it all set up, I was like, damn, this is legit. I like it.
Yeah.
And it's simple. So it's not like, and it's not a crazy expensive setup.
No. So. Everything's been fairly budget. We've got these two lights over here. They're by a company called GVM.
They're quite bright.
They're designed to be. Every time I look into them, I lose my vision for like a half a second.
I know. I regretted looking at both of them for some reason. I'm like, okay, and my eyes are now. Yeah. I'm closing my eyes and I see LEDs. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Some strength. But they're cool because you could change the temperature on them,
the color.
Any color you want. It's all LEDs. So we can, like, I don't know. We're experimenting with some weird, I don't know. We're going to experiment with all sorts of different things.
Yeah. There's before we hit settings. Record, we had like one light pointing at Joe that was blue and one light that was pointing at me that was yellow. And we had this light behind us sitting at red. And we're like, ooh, this looks very like
the creative and nice.
Crazy. But we actually got in our heads about the fact that we could see the folds here on our wood backdrop. And we ended up pointing it out anyway. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
iron your folds, Matt.
Iron my folds. I think that's pretty much a breakdown of the equipment. Is there anything we're missing?
I don't think so.
I mean, there's a bunch of cords, XLRs.
I'm expecting that Sue is probably going to need some links from you. You know, our note taker Sue for everyone listening.
Yeah.
Hopefully, Sue, you can keep up with everything that the tech stack here. I think you got it though.
Yeah, I'll send you a list if you need it.
Actually, didn't Jacob on the team? Didn't he create a page?
He did.
Maybe that gets linked to this episode.
What's that somehow. Site called? It's called like Kit. No Kit.
It's something. Yeah, where you basically like you say here all,
.co or something like that.
Yeah, we'll get the link.
Yeah.
So make sure to go to the show notes of this episode, and you'll get there.
Yeah, we'll send you a link to where you can see the entire equipment breakdown that I just said.
Yeah. So yeah. Cool. HustleandToolChart.com.
We got some stands that are made by Array, I guess. I don't know.
They're just basic stands, but they're cool because they're like table stands.
Yeah. Instead of like the we had those boom mics before, which were kind of awkward and fell over a lot.
Yeah, these are rock solid, dude. Yeah, I mean, they're
heavy. You could murder somebody with these.
Ooh.
Not recommended.
It's a bludgeon because it's very round.
Yeah. We might do the boom arms that are clamped to the table at some point. I don't know, but I kind of like these.
Yeah. I'd say roll with this for now. Yeah. It's cool. But I think it covers everything, man. So it's I think this is, hopefully you guys found value in the tech stack, but it's I think it's, this is fascinating. I mean, I was impressed with how simple it really is.
Yeah. It was just like a week long marathon of me watching YouTube videos and figuring out like what everybody else was using and how they had it all dialed in. And
yeah. So actually getting the notes would probably be a really good time savings for you.
Yes.
So go to flowchartgroup.com and enter your email fast, whenever you're listening to this, but 2 weeks of it going live. Because I think, because I know how much time Matt did spend going down the rabbit hole on YouTube and many rabbit holes. Yeah. And it was cool. Yeah, I learned a lot, too, because you were sending me some videos. But I know you probably watched 30 times the number of videos you sent me.
Yeah. I'm still watching videos. I still keep on finding like, ooh, I want to get that now, too. Ooh, I want to get that. Ooh, that would make cool videos. It's like I keep on finding like cool gadgets and stuff that I'm like, that's really cool. I'll probably only use it like twice if I had it, but I want one.
I mean, it's going to get a little bit more wild in here, but definitely save a lot of time and get the notes and check out that kit, whatever. Maybe it's not called kit. I don't know.
I think
We'll link it up so you have the whole like tech stack here. So
There's one other thing I wanted to talk about real quick, not related to the equipment or anything, but one of the things that we're talking about doing, and we'd love your opinion, so feel free to write in to us about it or talk to us in the Facebook group about it, but I think we're planning on backing off on doing as many interview episodes and doing more. I don't think we're going to continue to call them therapy sessions just because we're going to do it more.
That might be a special episode that comes out
when we have things we need to cry about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But we just want to do more just straight up me and Joe talking about what we're working on, what's going on behind the scenes in the business, and probably trends.
Talking there's a lot about, more, not just about us.
Yeah. We want to kind of talk about trends that we're seeing, talk about cool business models we're seeing other people do, just do more that we're kind of thinking about switching to, maybe like continue to do two episodes a week, but maybe one of those episodes is no guest and one episode is with a guest. We're still kind of playing with the formats and how we're going to do it, but we'd like to do more episodes where we don't bring on guests and Joe and I just have fun with you, the audience.
Oh, the audience. We want to spend time with you.
I always sound so cheesy when I talk to the audience.
It is, isn't it? Well, you've been talking to him the whole time.
No, I've been talking to you, just looking at the camera, pretending I'm talking to an audience.
Awkward. But yeah.
Let us know your thoughts.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts. Where do they go to know our thoughts? Their thoughts?
Flowchartgroup.com.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, go to the group. If you're not in there, come on. As I hit the microphone, amateur status.
Yeah, and we'll take ideas from you guys. You know, if you go to the group and say, "Hey, I'd love it if you guys did an episode about X, Y, or Z." Mm-hmm. I want to know more about Joe's whitey tighties. You know, make an episode about it.
Big story there.
We're down. Yeah. I mean, we could spend 2 hours on that.
Wow, they're not even that big of whitey tighties.
Yeah, well, there's 2 hours worth of storytelling there.
Oh boy. Yeah. So go to the group. This was fun.
It was.
Going down through the tech setup that actually simplified it way more in my mind too. Because I didn't even understand how all this stuff worked. I had no clue about the Elgato connection cam link thing. Oh, you sent it to me, but that was like, you sent me a million things. Like, I can't keep track of all this stuff.
Yeah. We'll do a video. We'll make a video kind of tour once it's a little bit more cleaned up and dialed in, and a little less messy. I think we'll kind of do a video tour and walk through everything that we've got set up. Like Joe said, we do want to have a three camera setup. So there's this middle one and then one just on me, one on Joe, so that we can kind of get that engagement.
Switcher.
Yeah. And a little ATEM switcher is what we're going to get, so that we can constantly switch between views and hopefully hold attention a little bit longer.
I really want this vision to pan out. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying it now. Like, I really think that this, if we can lock in a nice video, like system, basically this YouTube version of this podcast. So what I'm trying to say is, like, I want to figure out a nice story arc of the mainly the guest interviews.
Yeah, just gotta figure out how to, like, a good edit flow for them.
Yeah, and it doesn't, it's not like every video needs to recreate the wheel, as it shouldn't. Like, we want to create a system. So, you know, again, if you know, or if you are a good YouTube video editor, or if you are a great editor and just want to, you know, you have the YouTube chops, you know, like, they have this way of editing that kind of really is, it keeps attention. I mean, that's the whole thing. And it's different than, like, a cinematic editing, you know, it's,
yeah.
So, you know, we want to dial that in to make, you know, throw B-roll over that and, like, kind of look at it in just these shots. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'm just like, I want that vision to come a reality, and we're so close. And there's more to it, but this is a step in the right direction.
Step in the right direction.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. One last tool we got.
Whoa.
That was a random one.
Yep. I meant for, but then the timing was off and I was one button away.
Oh, yeah.
go ahead.
One more tool to talk about.
Yeah. Oh.
There's this webinar tool that I hear is pretty cool.
I've heard about this tool and it's very powerful. And I've been hearing a lot lately that a lot of people are running webinars successfully.
Yeah.
Even more so now.
We just talked to Avi, which you're going to hear next week.
Is that next week?
I think so.
Well, let's cue it up there because that's, I mean, we heard this in our mastermind earlier this week too.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
give you a quote from Avi.
Okay.
A teaser quote. He said, webinars are the superpower of the 21st century.
Ooh.
You'll get the context to that next week.
Next week. Cliffhanger.
Actually, it might even be this week. I don't know if this is coming out on a Tuesday or Thursday.
No,
so.
I have no clue.
And it's the next episode after this one. So. Oh.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. So webinars. I mean, this is what we've been talking about. Like, there's a lot of folks, like, crushing it on webinars right now. And I don't know if it's a pandemic thing or a certain market thing, but if you're not just at least looking into webinars, give it a shot.
Yeah.
Avi, you know, this episode that Matt's talking about, it's a lot of video talk and specifically these, like, videos that make sense during a process.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I won't go down that route because way more context that needs to be had there for this time.
We'll leave that open-ended. But, you know, we've been talking about our studio, right? And I think one of the things that we're going to do in our own business now that we've got this set up where we could just kind of come in, flip a switch and go is more webinar type stuff.
Good point.
I'd like to get a webinar put together for Podhacker.
Definitely.
We're talking with this Avi guy about doing some webinars with him, but context will come in the next episode.
No, you're right. I mean, like, this is a very good point. I don't know why the hell, because we've talked about this.
Yeah.
But yes, webinars are something we're definitely going to harness way more, especially with this setup because it's freaking perfect, but also just different streams. Streaming from there as well. So Easy Webinar, I don't know why we're just like hanging on to the name, but Easy Webinar, beautiful sponsor, beautiful. They make a beautiful product.
Yeah.
And
Casey's buff too.
So he's so ripped.
From a man perspective, he's beautiful as well.
Damn right.
Yeah.
You go, Casey. But yeah, Easy Webinar is the tool and they're hooking you up. You know, if you are using webinars and you don't want, if you want to cut out a lot of the just confusion and madness that comes along with trying to, you know, kind of really piece together stuff. Like, here's a Loom video. Here's a random video and let's put it on a thing that does this and different, like, Easy Webinar just kind of combines all that stuff in one.
Yeah.
So, and live streaming. So I think we're going to really do a lot of that. So there's so many features of that damn thing.
Yeah. And he's hooking up Hustle and Flowchart listeners.
Pretty big hookup at Hustle. Jesus.
No. Easywebinar.com/hustle.
I was going to say it in reverse.
Here, let me do this just to emphasize.
Easywebinar.com/hustle. You're going to get a fat hookup, as Matt says. This is a great idea with the neon light behind me. You quiet down over there.
Sorry. I meant to cheer.
That's great.
That's the cheering for Easy Webinar. All right, everybody, shut up.
Wow. Matt commands the room. All right. So easywebinar.com/hustle. They're hooking you up. If you are doing anything webinars or about to use that tool, that is what we use. And we are going to do a lot more.
Very soon. I think you might have just been muted for a second there.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I just said.
Easywebinar.com/hustle. Go get it.
Thank you.
You're going to want it. It's a great tool.
You messing up the tech, Matt?
I did. What I did was I dropped the volume of the cheers and I pressed this button, which literally soloed these. So this was the only audio that was coming through.
Ah.
So all this tech that I've been talking about, this blinking is distracting. All of this tech that I'm talking about, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing with it. So yeah.
The tech guy's confusing himself. This isn't
and anybody
sign.
Listening probably has no idea that there was a tech issue because Jacob's awesome and he just edited it out.
That's a good point. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you for doing that for us, Jacob.
Let's wrap this puppy up. If you've stayed with us and if you've gotten value, we would love to get a subscribe from you if you haven't been. If you're not on YouTube over there, wherever direction YouTube is, but I think if you're on YouTube, you're probably there. So just hit the subscribe button. But
if you're seeing us point right now, then you're on YouTube.
That's what I'm saying. I just realized that. So, but go over there to hustleandflowchart.tv if you're just listening on the audio. We want to blow up the YouTube side of stuff.
Yes.
And see, you can see a lot more of what Matt was talking about with all the equipment here. And
yeah, and we are going to be doing some giveaways and stuff to subscribers of the YouTube channel. Haven't announced yet what those giveaways are going to be because we got to figure out what the giveaways are going to be.
Massive.
And that's why we haven't announced them yet. But we are planning on giving away stuff and things to YouTube subscribers.
Stuff. You gave away something to me today.
I did?
It was very nice of you. Getting burritos and Matt kicked a quarter that was already on the ground from under my car to me. I was like, hey, look.
I saw it on the ground. I went, Joe needs this more than I do and kicked it over to him.
You're such a giver. You're such a giver. Thank you, Matt. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll
bye-bye.
See you next time.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. For taking the time to listen, we want to give you something a little bit special. Every single episode that we do, we actually have somebody on our team take notes. We basically have a Cliff's Notes version of every episode where you can go and find all of the tips and tactics that they laid out, all of the resources that they laid out, all the good stuff from this episode. We actually have a nice simple notes version that you can find on our website. So go to evergreenprofits.com, find this episode that you just listened to, and give us your email address and we'll send you the notes. Thanks for listening.